Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
So good to have you with us, everybody. Hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving holiday. It's Monday, November 28, 2016. We're dialing in from Central Texas. Decent day here. Hope it's good wherever your day is. Again, this podcast is created by mortgage professionals for mortgage professionals, and we are the proud recipient of the Progress in Lending Innovation Award. Very grateful for that. Excited about every program we do and excited about this one because we have got some discussion in the hot topic segment that is going to talk about how you can leverage your time. I don't know about you, but there's some things I just don't enjoy doing. And there's some things I do really well. And I'm grateful for friends like Andy Schell, who points out the things I do well, and fortunately points those out more than he does the things I don't do so well. So you surround yourself with people that will encourage you, but also point out your blind spots. And we're going to be talking about one of the things that and I'm going to talk about that in my when I get into the hot topic segment, one of my blind spots and how I use others to help me be successful. And it's really leveraging each other's talents. We're not meant to be islands out here on our own. Anyone who knows me knows that I wake up every morning and I love doing my journal time, my quiet time, as it's the quiet time wherever it's at, and I do a lot of journaling. And so what I was doing in the backyard, I was journaling and reading some inspirational material, and I read this. I want to share this with you because it's applicable to the hot topic segment. It said this: every morning in Africa, a gazelle wakes up realizing that in order to live, he has to run faster, not be the slowest gazelle in the pack. Every morning, a lion wakes up and knows that he has to be faster than the slowest gazelle in the pack. So everybody's running. Everyone's waking up. Everyone's running. And it's how you run that's going to determine whether you stay alive or die. And so we're going to be talking about how you can do a better job of running the race of your business. And that's the Hot Topic segment. Emma Moreau dialing in from Australia. It's 4 a.m. over there, folks. And the sun is coming up, and she's joining us, and we're honored to get into that. Again, big thank you to our sponsors, Arch MI, who has their innovative new RateStar application. We'll hear about that later. Motivity Solutions, providing real-time reporting and dashboard scorecards. Belma, who is an efficient marketing and email platform. Get one topic segment a little bit. And then also Simplifile, real-time electronic communications exchange, as well as the Mortgage Collaborative, the part of the network. DNH, you're our favorite company out there because they're a sponsor.
Hey, Dave, you're really cutting out there, buddy.
Oh, thanks for letting me know, Andy. Hopefully, this will get a little better.
No, it's not really getting better yet. But I'm interested to hear more about lions and gazelle. Are you the gazelle or the lion?
That's a good question. Well, survive, Andy. I think that's what we try to do here in our podcast. So is it getting any better with the audio here? We're working
just
on
just the last 5 seconds. It's gotten better. Sorry, everyone, but we want you to hear Mr. Lickin.
I appreciate that. Thanks so much for jumping in and letting us know. You know, when we do everything over the internet, it is one of those things where based on your internet connection and a lot of other connectivity, it can sometimes work and sometimes doesn't. So, Andy, jump in and let me know. Appreciate that very, very much. Anyway, thank you to all.
You're better, Dave. You're better. Go ahead. Thanks.
maybe it's the pace in which I speak. You need to slow it down. Anyway, thank you for DNH. It's one of our sponsors. Grateful to have them here again. Check out DNH at dh.com or call them at 1-800-815-5592. Also, special thank you goes out to Alice, Andy, Joe, Paul, Sam, and everyone else that makes a contribution to this program. So for those of you that missed the dialogue about the gazelle and the lion, we'll talk about that later. Anyway, Joe Farr, let's get – you always have a good connection dialing in. I need to get your system.
Let's see if this works. Today is finally an update, David. We're up 9:30 seconds on the day.
Yes.
You know, we've gone through quite a period since the election where most of the time it's been down days. But, you know, there's always something, right? There's always something new for investors to concern themselves with. And you know, so much after the election, the concern was what impact the Trump presidency is going to have on the economy. And maybe not concern in that regard, but anticipation as far as stocks are concerned, concern for the bond market. Well, today's update seems to be somewhat related to concerns about what's going on in Italy. This weekend, there's a referendum, which is viewed as potentially disruptive in that it's a referendum on changes that the Italian government wants to make in order to be a little more responsive and to be a little more to maintain consistency a little better. That right now they've got some strange things that they'd like to change, and the Prime Minister Renzi is the one pushing for the reforms, and he has stated if these reforms are not enacted, because he's been the one pushing for him, he's going to resign as prime minister. Now, that's where the concern begins, because the uncertainty that will go along with another change in the Italian government is considered to be tough on the banking system over there. They're weak as they stand today, and with the uncertainty, they're likely to become weaker. There are several recapitalization plans in process that might not occur if the government goes through another disruption like this. And then in addition to that, the next in control, the next in power as far as a political group goes, is a group that has been anti-Euro. And so, you know, you got that concern on top of it. So until that election, or the referendum, which is scheduled for this weekend, it says on Sunday, but I'm not sure if the results are going to be out then or not. But the concerns that go along with that may create some continued volatility here in the week ahead, and then certainly much like what we saw in the referendum on the Brexit, the results could create some market moving issues. Now, that this is not as significant as Brexit, obviously, but it is leading toward what might become another Brexit type event. So we'll have to keep our eyes on that. Last week was a volatile week. MBS prices ended the week down another 430 seconds, and that's a post-Trump election drop of about 250 basis points on the 3.5% mortgage-backed security. So it's a pretty big drop. Yeah. The economic data last week was generally better than expected, and for once we can kind of say that the data had some influence on MBS prices, especially the durable orders data. It way exceeded expectations and caused a pretty big drop in MBS prices to begin the day on Wednesday. Last week, the housing data was fairly encouraging. Although it didn't have a big impact on MBS prices, it did show that existing home sales rose to the highest level since 2007, you know, pre-market crash. New home sales fell a little bit from last month, but we're still at a fairly high level. Consumer sentiment rose in November, which was good to see. The minutes of the November 2nd Fed meeting came out, but really contain no new information, and so it was not really a market-moving event. So this week now we have, of course, the impact of the uncertainty associated with the Italian referendum to consider. But we have a lot of significant economic data. Of course, the jobs report comes out first Friday of each month, and that's coming out this Friday. Consensus calls for 170,000 net new jobs. No change in the unemployment rate, and nice for MBS, a small slowdown in wage inflation, assuming that will happen. Also, a concern for mortgage-backed securities is going to be the core PCE, which comes out on Wednesday. That's a measure of inflation and is the Fed's preferred measure of inflation. Now, it's not expected to show an increase in inflation, but need to pay attention to that. The ISM Manufacturing Index is a big event on Thursday. Other announcements to come out second quarter, second estimate of third quarter GDP comes out tomorrow. The expectation there is that GDP in the third quarter is going to be a little higher than the first estimate. So the first estimate was 2.9%. This is expected to be 3.0%, so a slight increase there. And then pending home sales on Wednesday, ADP, Beige Book, all on Wednesday, and then construction spending on Thursday. So a week really pretty big, pretty full of significant economic events to deal with, plus the political issues and the uncertainty that goes along with things going on in Europe.
Yeah, and that could trump everything going on here. So it'll be real interesting to see where that all ends up. So, Joe, thanks so much. Did a great job of bringing this information. And you came in, at least on my headset, is crystal clear. So appreciate the fact that you got good audio here. So we're going to be right back, folks, after this brief break.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS Quoteline delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect. And know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS Quoteline, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS Quoteline today at MBSQuoteLine.com. MBSQuoteLine.com. 646-716-4972. The Lickin' on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
So good to have you with us, everybody. Sorry about the audio issues we had earlier. Those are now hopefully behind us. And we have Paul Mallow, who is not only reporter extraordinaire about what's going on in the mortgage industry, but he also is a backup audio engineer. He sent me an email. David, your audio's breaking up. So anyway, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
I can. It's pieces still drop out here and there, but it's not as bad as that early couple, that early 60 seconds or whatever. But anyway.
Yeah.
Well,
they can hear you, and that's the most important part. So hear everyone else. So what you got for us? I'm looking at your website. Great website for those of you that are not signed up to receive the IMF News daily email. You are missing out on some great content here. I encourage you to do so by going to www.imfnews.com. Paul, let's go through what's on your website here today.
Sure. Listen, Inside Mortgage Finance crunched the third quarter origination numbers, and we did the channel breaks, retail, wholesale, correspondent. And what we found was correspondent and wholesale broker originations were up on a market share percentage, and retail slipped a little bit. That's sort of interesting, but what's going to be more interesting is in the quarters ahead as this market changes to see if lenders start cutting back on their retail costs and they decide to rely more on wholesale and correspondent, which has happened historically in the past, or whether they'll continue to forge ahead with retail and call centers and all that. It's going to be interesting. So, with rates rising as much as they have, since the election, you know, are we going to see a major pullback in production, or maybe it won't be so bad? Will we see enough purchase business to make up for the decline in refis, or will we see more cash-out refis? There's a lot of unknowns here, and there's also people who are telling me, you know, rates, you guys talk about bond prices, rates have risen too quickly in a short period of time, and then we could see some pullback here. So there's a lot of unknowns in the weeks ahead, and it's, like I said, it's going to be interesting to watch. And talking about interesting to watch, boy, Fannie and Freddie's common stock now,
yeah,
$3 a share. it hit a low, 52-week low was 98 cents, so do the math. If you decide to speculate on that baby, you'd be sitting on some fat gains depending on how many shares you bought. But, you know, it's into, wow. I mean, you know, we know all about preferred shareholders. They're a different class of stock, and they're suing the government, et cetera, et cetera. But if you've been speculating in common and you had the, the wherewithal to do that in some big numbers, wow, triple your profits if you sell right now. The question is, will it go higher? I mean, I'm not an expert on the common. I follow it. I don't know it. You know, people tell me time and time again that stock is worthless. But, you know, it may be worthless, but people keep trading it. Interesting. AIG, our third story. Yeah, AIG, our third story. Everyone knows they're selling United Guaranty. to a competitor.
Arch.
Who's their competitor?
Arch.
Arch. I'm sorry.
Yep.
I've been out too long. I've been out for 9 days. Arch. yeah. And but AIG is going to continue to buy whole loans and do structured deals. They like the mortgage market. They have been in the mortgage market for quite some time as an investor in MBS and other securities. They made some more announcements on a recent earnings call. That's on the website, something to keep an eye on. SIFIG, the Structured Finance Industry Group, they're proposing some new transparency to get the non-agency market moving. It's tied to reps and warranties, having comparables so you can do some comparisons and try and get that market going. People should go look at the new SIFIG green paper. The story's on our website. We have a bigger story in our Inside MBS and ABS newsletter. That's a market that, you know, could do quite well in the year or two ahead if, you know, the Trump administration decides to lend more of a forceful hand in getting that market off the ground, off its back. So another interesting story. Fitch came out and probably made a big announcement about nothing, but we figured we put it out there. They continue to look at the banks and the MSR market, and they predict that banks will continue to cede market share. No surprise there, really, but it's nice to see Fitch go out there and say that on the record. And in the short take section, we talk a little bit about who's going to get the HUD job in the new Trump administration. Ben Carson, pardon, everyone saw that news last week.
Oh, yeah.
You know, why would a retired neurosurgeon want to be HUD secretary? I don't know, but who knows? I mean, he was someone who supported Trump, and you know, I guess he wants to give him some kind of job in the administration. I'm not sure HUD is something that he'd be interested in, but I don't know him personally, and I have no specific knowledge of that. Everyone's talking about the HUD job, obviously, because, you know, Ginny and FHA and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of the more interesting pieces and tidbits we have in the short take section. And that's about it for today.
Well, I'll give Ben Carson's story if you're interested.
Sure.
I was in Fox Studios getting ready to go on Cafuto Live on one of my trips to New York. And sitting right across from me in the green room was Ben Carson. So I introduced myself. And there's not a more soft-spoken, gentle-type personality. Very gracious, very nice man. And, I mean, a neurosurgeon, some of the surgeries he's done is celebrated. I mean, it's just amazing.
Sure.
But I was really – I mean, when I look at leadership, I look at a certain level of dynamic personality. And my only encounter with him was a very pleasant conversation, and we got into some good issues. But even when he got into the hitting the passionate notes where he was getting on, I was asking him where he was going on. He was going on with O'Reilly, and I was going on. And some of these programs are taped early, but it was just – I was underwhelmed with his dynamic nature. Now, intelligence can make up – I'd rather have someone intelligent than dynamic. But I was just interested. It'll be real interesting if he goes for that, because I think HUD and housing is going to need a bit more dynamics as it comes to the leadership. And so it'll be real interesting to see if he takes the job and where that goes. So I'm rereading a lot of posts from a lot of people that were staunch Hillary supporters or not. They're just – bagging on this guy big time. There's a we'll see. Smart guy, but curious selection, to put it mildly. It's probably the nicest way to put it. But anyway.
It is curious. And just so you know about his personal nature, I think everyone knew he was calm, cool, and collected. And he's a neurosurgeon. If you're getting your brain operated on, you want someone who's calm, cool, and collected. You don't want some hyper guy. You know, if I had a surgeon who's named Donald Trump versus Ben Carson, and they both had equal degrees and experience, I would go with Carson, because he's working on your brain. You want to be calm, cool, and collected. So,
exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah, like one person, there's not a lot up there in my head, so I don't want them messing up with the little that's there. So anyway, we'll see what goes on. They're messing with our head with that selection, though. That's an interesting one. Paul, thank you so much for coming on and being here with us. Really appreciate it, as always. Such a great pleasure. So great site. Check it out. IMFnews.com. Great stuff. Alice Albee normally would be coming in at this point, but Alice is out and about. And so we're going to, as she sends her greetings, wishes everybody, hopes everyone had a great, really good Thanksgiving break. So we're going to be back after a few couple of words from our sponsors. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Are you using one of those expensive CRMs that your loan officers won't use?
If so, then give my friends at Velma a call and let them help you create a customer journey that relies on the data and not on loan officer interaction. I encourage you to consider working with Velma to create a truly automated marketing experience for your organization. Velma makes marketing automation easy. Schedule a demo today at Velma.com, V-E-L-M-A.com.
Simplifile has technology that gives you the ability to collaborate with settlement agents via real-time chat and messaging, allowing you to track changes, send, receive, and validate documents, as well as obtain status updates and deal with issues as they arise. All of this in a real-time electronic communication exchange. And best of all, you have a complete audit trail of all communications. To learn more, go to Simplifile.com or call our good friend Nancy Alley at 1-800-460-5657.
Yeah, true. I love that service. I mean, Velma, great service. Simplifile, I love the electronic communications and how you're communicating with your agents. Check them out. They're great sponsors, and none of that, they're very good at what they do. Appreciate you being with us, everybody. We've got Sam Garcia with us, turning on his mic, and always fun to check out his website. Good content here. Also, a lot of data. It's a data-rich website, so stories and data. Sam, good to have you here. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
David, I did. Thank you. And, of course, it's always driven by the Cowboys, which won again.
Yeah, we won't talk about our Seahawks game. They got trounced by Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay found a new – they found their inner selves, and man, they just killed our Cowboys. I mean, I killed our killed our Seahawk team. So anyway,
but unfortunately, our win came at, of course, the expense of the Redskins. So sorry to our friends at the NBA, who many of whom are Redskins fans. But
yeah, well, we got, and then they're playing again Thursday. We got the Thursday night NFL game, so it'll be real interesting. Looking that they're playing my old favorite team, which is the Vikings. So we'll see. So anyway, good to hear your voice. What you got on your website, friend?
You know, last week Fannie Mae issued its outlook, economic outlook, and even though we've seen rates rise recently, Fannie boosted its forecast for originations by $100 billion. So that's quite a bit, so, given what we've seen recently. We'll see if that holds as they get more time to digest what rates have been doing. But last week, of course, one of the biggest stories we had was about the conforming loan limit. FHFA, which regulates Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, announced that the conforming loan limit will rise to $424,100 for 2017. And that turned out to be the first increase in more than a decade, as the limit had been stuck at $417,000 since 2006. And, you know, FHFA determines the conforming loan limit based on home prices, and the FHFA home price index was up 6.1% in September from a year earlier, and the number that they came out with was 238 was what the index was. Now, just to give you a little perspective, if the index was 238 in September, the previous high had been 226, and that was in the second quarter of 2007. And the low for that index was 178 in the first quarter of 2011. So, you know, we broke through the barrier, reached pre-crisis highs for and past pre-crisis highs for home prices. And I think everybody has been watching that in some of these areas around the country, and as we have tight inventory. And we'll see how that goes now with rates climbing. But, you know, and of course, with rates climbing, there's even though rates have been climbing, should I say, there's been little change in mortgage business from a year ago. Our mortgage daily mortgage market index was 106 as of Thanksgiving week, and that was pretty similar to where it was the same week last year. But compared to a year ago, purchase business is up less than 1%, and refinance activity slipped by less than 3%. Of course, refinance activity has slowed quite a bit more recently, week to week. But just compared to a year ago, we're still looking pretty decent, you know, given where rates are right now. MIAC announced that it's selling a $16 million agency scratch and dent portfolio, and the seller on that is a large non-bank mortgage originator. Over in Ohio, Huntington Bankshares has announced it's developing a new 210,000-square-foot office complex in Columbus. That's expected to be finished, I think, by the middle of next year. And Huntington said it intends to bring 1,000 new jobs to Columbus by 2024 as a result of this new deal. And in conjunction with the development of this new site, Huntington plans to make $25 million in low to moderate income home loans in the Columbus area. So that's an indication that some of those 1,000 jobs are going to be in the mortgage business in addition to some of their other businesses that they're in. One other story I wanted to highlight was Hope Now reported that there were about 30,800 loan modifications completed in September. That was down from a little over 36,100 the prior month. And that decline was driven primarily by proprietary modification activity. On the HAMP side, modifications actually were up on a year-over-year basis. So those are some of the latest highlights that we had last week, which was a really slow news week. We tried to come up with some stuff on Friday, and there just was nothing out there because, of course, all government activity just shuts down. And so we'll get back into the news this week and get a lot more out there.
Yeah, it's interesting about the Fannie Mae loan limits and seeing where those are at. And they increased them to over 600 and some thousand. I thought it was timely to try to find the number for the jumbo markets for the larger areas. And I don't have that information right here, but I know that was also increased. So, yeah, understandable move given the appreciation of homes. So, and then also Fannie Mae, Doug Duncan and team over there at Fannie Mae talking about where they are. There's some optimism there in the market. So 2017's looking like it could be a very good year to be in the mortgage business.
Well, you know, the high cost area that you're referring to, it's 150% of what the conforming base limit is. So, and that not only applies to some of the highest cost in the lower 48, but it also applies to Alaska, Hawaii, and Guam, and the U.S. Virgin Islands for that. And we're just talking one-unit properties. What's interesting is if you can use GSE loans to fund in these high-cost areas, two-unit properties, loans up to $543,000, and on four-unit properties, you can actually get a Fannie or Freddie loan up to $815,000.
Wow.
So those, of course, are in the high-cost areas and those outlying areas that I also mentioned. So,
yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.
Good amount of information. You do a great job. Appreciate it. If you listeners have not checked out MortgageDaily.com, I encourage you to do so. Great amount of information there. And also the data that is in there that's behind the subscription part of this site it's amazing amount of stuff that's there. Amount of information, reports, data, market data, and it's a great resource for the industry. I appreciate you coming on and being a resource for us, my friend. It's always good.
Yeah. I just wanted to mention, I, of course, Inside Mortgage Finance has some incredible data. I look at Guy Sokol, and, he's really the go-to guy out there when you're reading Wall Street Journal or all these other big publications. But, we have a lot of the data that's more a little bit not quite so targeted, let's say, by county or whatever, but, at a much lower price, and it's got some basic stuff for you. They've got, of course, a whole lot more that even goes further. But, I like them. I just wanted to mention, give them a shout-out because I've always followed them, and it's a good company,
they do a good job.
Publication.
Good, Ben. I appreciate you being here with us, Sam. You have yourself a great rest of the day, and looking forward to seeing you back here next week and hopefully talking to you throughout the week. I'll be on your website. You can be sure to that. Thanks, Brent. Appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you next week.
You bet. Folks, one of the things we get to do is have our sponsors on, and one of the things I like to have our sponsors do is really talk about the benefits of what they have to offer. Again, trying to get our sponsors to come on with just that. And that is talking about our listeners can benefit from their products and services. So let's jump over to Jim, excuse the pun. Let's jump over to Jim Jump and hear what Arch MI has with their latest Rockstar program.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me on, and we're happy to be a proud sponsor of the program. And today I'd like again to talk about RateStar from Arch Mortgage Insurance. RateStar is a revolutionary tool that allows mortgage originators to dynamically price mortgage insurance and match coverage to Archimi's most competitive rates. And that's important because it allows you to compete more effectively, qualify more borrowers, and of course, close more loans. That's the power of RateStar. Originators from around the country are letting us know just how quick and easy RateStar is to use. And all you need is your NMLS number, and you can access RateStar anywhere, anytime, using multiple points of entry, including most LOS systems, product and pricing engines, and through our websites at archmi.com and archmicu.com for credit unions. And of course, it's available through our mobile app for smartphones and tablets. RateStar makes it easy to choose what type of mortgage insurance coverage your loan needs. You just touch, tap, and go. Quotes are delivered in seconds and represent our most competitive Archmi rates based on the strength and quality of the loan application. And I have to tell you, David, getting a mortgage insurance quote has never been so powerful or so simple. And with that, I'll turn it back over to you and say thanks. Have a great day, everybody.
I appreciate that. It is truly one of the great services, and you can save money with that. Also, another thing that I encourage people to get in is get into network. Get in with and work with people that this industry is so rich with. And the way to best way to do that that I can think of is attending MBA events as well as getting involved with the Mortgage Collaborative. So with that, let's get a word about the Mortgage Collaborative.
The Mortgage Collaborative was founded by former chairman of the NBA, John Robbins and David Kittle, and leaders at the forefront of the diversity movement in the real estate industry, Jim Park and Gary Acosta. The Mortgage Collaborative is the nation's only independent cooperative. The collaborative provides its members the opportunity to meet and form meaningful relationships with top mortgage professionals and leaders in our industry. In a relationship-driven business such as ours, often who you know is as important as what you know. To learn more, go to mortgagecollaborative.com or call Rich Swarbinski at 440-552-0691. The power of the network.
Well, we have with us today, by the way, power of the network, great, great effective way for you to meet industry leaders, and encourage you to check it out. So let's talk with the Profit Doctor. He's been traveling around the country and doing a lot of fixing ails, a lot of companies' bottom line. So what wisdom do you have for us, Andy? You've got another webinar coming up. That's one of the things I wanted to get an update on, is the latest on your webinars. You're getting to be a popular webinar guy through the MBA. Not surprised.
Well, thanks, Dave. Yeah, well, first, I'm very excited about your opening comments, even though maybe not everybody heard, but your comment about the lion and the gazelle, and as a lion, you only need to be faster than the slowest gazelle. So
yes.
That's good. You need to evaluate your target and know what good enough is. How good is good enough? I'm going to be speaking in a couple of weeks to a bunch of CPAs who audit mortgage companies about mortgage accounting and some of the really hot topics that are facing CPAs is the way in which the derivative asset is offset by cost to complete. And it gets more complicated from there quickly, so I'm going to just move on. But I think it's really interesting.
But can I encourage people to get in touch with you, because those things that seem complicated, even, you know, you just used the words derivative asset, what was the words you used? And
yeah, the derivative asset and the application of cost to complete.
So first of all, everyone heard that, and you lost a whole bunch of people on that. And what I'm encouraging our listeners to do, listen, you can hear there's aspect of our industry that sounds complicated, but if you get a guy like Andy in there talking to you, you can actually figure it out and understand it. He can help me understand some of the basic stuff. I mean, some of the more complicated aspects, he can help you folks. So that's a little plug for you and your educational ability to break it down and help bring the complex to an understandable level, Andy. So that's good. So anyway, you were about to say, I didn't interrupt you, but go for it.
No, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Now, I was going to talk about task management. And you asked about webinars. Sorry, one last thing. Next accounting webinar starts in February, and then the servicing webinar starts in July. So I encourage folks to attend those. And we're launching a new accounting webinar that's for its very advanced topics, and that will be interdispersed in there as well. But I wanted to talk about tasks because, you know, Dave, I'm a list guy. I like having lists. I like having things written down. I like being able to visualize all that needs to be done so that I can sort in my mind the best way to get to the next step. And so I'm not consistent. I'm actually very inconsistent in keeping up with my own rules, and I've got tasks in Outlook, and I've got tasks in the CRM, and I've got tasks written on notes, and so I'm trying to be much better at putting everything in one place, and it's going okay, but I'm inconsistent. And so I'm also a big proponent of outsourcing, and Dave, you've been using a outsource resource to help mm-hmm. keep up with your stuff for years, and I was honestly initially skeptical about how well that would go, but it seems like that's gone very yeah. well. So I'm sitting here now, and you know, I'm a big believer in empowering staff, and don't give staff a task they're not capable of completing. Like someone hands me a basketball and says, "Go dunk it." Well, you know, you're out of luck, because unless I get a ladder, it's not happening. So be aware. I mean, you're an expert in the industry, Dave. I'm an expert in the industry. People hire us for what we know. So I can't have a client who wants something from me talk to one of my associates who doesn't have my experience to be able to answer their question. All that does is frustrate everybody. So we need to have alignment between a delegation of duties and a third-party resource who can help me keep up with all of the stuff that's floating around out there. That I have stuff falling off the back of the turnip truck, and that's bad. So I'm anxious to hear Emma talk mm-hmm. about how I can be better at this.
Yeah, we're all going to benefit from this discussion, including myself, and I'm one of the ones that's been early adopter and using it. So that's very good. I appreciate that. Yeah, folks, if you are looking for someone to explain the complex and bring it to you, and not only fix things that are, if you're looking at your bottom line and going, I'm not happy with these numbers, get a hold of Andy Schell. He does a great job. He is the individual that trains people, trains the auditors that audit our industry. So why not go to the teacher? And then you have to deal with the students when you're coming and doing the audits. But go to the teacher, Andy Schell. How's the best way for people to reach you again, Andy?
Oh, well, on our website, mbs-team.com, is my full contact information. But an easy way to remember is andy@mbs-team.com.
Very good. Encourage you to check it out. Then we're going to have M on right after this ad break. KPI of the week, we have Motivity Solutions, John Maynell, who is a vice president of client services there at Motivity, and he's got the KPI of the week that we want to focus on. We're going to be right back after this brief break.
Hi, Dave. Thanks very much. Great to be back. And this week's key performance indicator is application to underwriting cycle time. This KPI is a measurement delivered at business days, and tracking this metric helps lenders ensure that their processes upstream from underwriting are as efficient as they can be. Our clients generally find that the sooner their qualified borrowers receive an underwriting decision, the less likely those borrowers are to shop around. So this KPI can ultimately boost app-to-funded pull-through as well, which is the KPI we focused on last week. So we're really beginning to connect the dots between operational efficiency and customer satisfaction. And once again, this and other KPIs we will be talking about in the coming weeks always demonstrate that what gets measured gets results. And with that, I will thank you again, Dave, and turn it back to you.
It's always good phrase. What gets measured gets results. So we appreciate you tuning in with us. I was talking at the beginning of the podcast when we talked about when we were opening up and we were having some audio issues, so a lot of people didn't hear, but, you know, Andy referenced it. But, you know, in this business, we're all running. And that's what that opening comment was. We're all running. If you're a gazelle, you're running to stay alive. If you're a lion, you're running fast enough to catch the lion. But we're all running. But how are we running? And are we working as smart as we could work? There's a new book out that I'm a big fan of. It's called Bold, B-O-L-D. And it really talks about how to go big, how to create wealth, how to impact the world. And inside this book, it really gets into something called crowdfunding, crowdsourcing. We were teasing Andy, said he's going to crowdfund his retirement. I thought that was hilarious. A lot of people are looking for alternative ways to do that. But we keep working and doing what we enjoy doing. And this book talks about how to do things differently. And there's a lot in here about crowdsourcing. Now, crowdsourcing is, in other words, leveraging other people's abilities in other parts of the world, other technologies, and then really bringing them into your business. I'll tell this story about myself. Early when I started in college, I worked to work for a bank, and the guy that hired me was impressed the fact that I was not a business major. He says he's tired of hiring business majors, so he said, I'm going to go outside of that. I'm looking for leaders. I happen to be the president of the student body, president of this, president of that. So he looked at my back college and said, yeah, maybe this guy's got some leadership. So they hired me. Well, he did not ask me how far I could cap. Now, being a music major, which I am, a vocal major, he knew I could start. I could count to at least four. So, as I assume, could do a better job at some of the number side of this business. Well, I quickly became a top producer, but my ability to do the numbers was a bit challenged. So he had to come out, and he has either faced at firing me or something. We were trying to figure out what to do. And so on his way to come out to fire me, he said, he stopped at a friend's office and said, you know what? I hate to do this, but I got to fire my number one producer. And it's because he can't get this math right. And the guy goes, he's your number one producer. Why are you getting rid of him? And he said, it's because of these disclosures. So I said, well, hire him some assistants. And at that point, I realized the concept of outsourcing. This was back in the 70s. I've always been a big fan of it. And here to talk to us about outsourcing and how you can leverage others' abilities and specializations, as Andy talked about, you can go to this thing called outsourcing. So we're going to bring Emma Monroe on right now. I just realized I did not turn on Emma's mic, but I think that's an important part. Emma is joining us from Australia. Emma, good to have you here.
Thank you so much, David. Great afternoon to you.
It's a good afternoon. It's a good, very early morning to you. So I know it's 4 a.m. there or 4:30 a.m. now or 4:40 a.m. But let's introduce ourselves. Let's introduce you to our audience a little bit by starting off with who you are and a little bit of your background.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. So I have over a decade's experience in B2B finance in Australia. And after that amount of time of working with mostly small businesses, 5 to 20 employees, and working out their financial needs, I got into outsourcing and app development and marketing. So that's been a little bit about my story. I've been working with franchise brands in sales training as well, mostly in the US over the last 5 years. And now we are purely outsourcing.
Well, you have, and you're dialing in from Skype, using Skype, I might add, if I recall correctly. Is that correct? And so we're using some technology.
That's correct.
We're maxing out technology here all the way around. So it's good to have you join us. Let's talk a little bit about what I want to start on the broad topic of outsourcing. You have experience on this, and you have some very innovative things that are going on. And so to kind of tease our audience and help them understand the benefits of it, give us a story. I always like starting with a story. What's a great example of someone who is able to leverage themselves through outsourcing and have far greater success than they otherwise could?
Yes, absolutely. Great question. And I just want to touch first, David, on a topic that's come up quite a bit on your show today, which is working on your speciality. I tend to like to call it your zone of genius. And so I want to ask you a question, David, if that's okay, about, with your experience in mortgages and loan origination, what do you feel is the general zone of genius for your audience?
Well, our audience is diverse. We have people that are in the operational
Yeah.
side of the business. We have people on the sales side of the business. And so everyone has their own sense of genius. For me, it's going out and forming good relationships. I guess that's why this radio program has worked as well as it has. But then the operational people,
Yeah.
they may not have the same skill set at operations. But so I think that's one of the things. So the genius is one of the geniuses is your ability to relate and bring various services together. And I'd like to focus on some of those. So
yes.
Give us a little insight. You have a company and you have actually two companies. One is Sales VA. Another one is Social VA. And so, just keep me there for a minute. So if you could talk about those and how those work in a marketplace and how it can benefit loan originators as well as operational people.
Absolutely. So it's a good question to ask ourselves is what is their zone of genius? But our clients has that we started off years ago with, they look after 10,000 sales contractors. And they had about 15 BDMs who were meant to be on the road
BDMs, if you could explain what a BDM is. Business Development Managers, right?
Okay, Business Development Managers. And so their whole role is supposed to be on the road developing business. But they found that those 15 team members were spending 2 days a week behind their desk doing admin work. Now, that could have been real admin work, but it could they found out that some of it's, they're exhausted or they're not the right fit for the job, and so they're kind of hiding behind their desk. And so they looked at our outsourcing solution and started outsourcing more and more of those admin tasks. Some of their team weren't happy with it, so there was redundancies made. They cut back their BDMs to 6. They're now back up to 12. But the big thing, David, is that those 12 are now out on the road full-time, supported by an outsourced admin team who are great at efficiencies behind the desk and admin tasks. Their clients are happier because they're getting 24/7 service, which they weren't getting before, which the business can now afford. But the biggest difference is, David, that as a business, they can now attract a higher level of BDM who has the right skills to be out on the road and doesn't want to hide behind the desk. So they're actually able to pay their BDMs a difference from before. They were $50,000 to $65,000 a year. Now they're $95,000 to $120,000 a year level of person. So that's just a quick example of
A business,
an outsourcing restructure.
Right. A business development manager is analogous to a loan originator. And I think that one of the things is many of us get caught doing things that are outside of our sweet spot. In other words, outside of our number one skill set. I remember having a conversation with the old Bengals quarterback. He's a friend of mine. Our daughter was good friends with his daughter, and so we were over at his house. And he had a 17-year career in the NFL. And we sat numerous times while watching our kids play, and I had a chance to interview Jeff. And Jeff would say, I asked Jeff, why is it you're so successful at this? You're a natural athlete. Why did you pick NFL? And he says, I was very fortunate early on in my career to get some great advice. I was a natural athlete. I actually loved baseball better than I did football. And I know football in your country is soccer, but football here is the other kind of football, the U.S. football. And he says, I actually enjoyed baseball better, but my natural skills seem to be better at football. And so my coach pulled me aside, and the baseball coach didn't appreciate the conversation, but he said, you need to focus. You're really a gifted athlete. You need to focus on the number one thing that you are best at, and you'll have a very prosperous career. And he says, you're good at baseball, and I know you love that more, but it is really not the thing that you're really, really good at, and that is being a quarterback and your ability to throw. Now, he was a pitcher in baseball, but he was able to have a 17-year career in the NFL as a quarterback, and it was because he focused on what he's best at. So when we're looking at the BDMs or the business development people and the loan originators, some of the tasks, those listeners that are listening to this interview with Emma, I want you to start writing down a list of things that you're not so good at. Typically, if you're like the typical originators, detailed, mundane type things are really what get in the way. And so let's talk a little bit about sales VA just briefly, and then I really want to get over to social VA because that can really increase people's business. So in sales VA, it's something that I'm using, and it's taken a little bit of adjustment for me to learn how to do it because I'm just learning how to do it and do it effectively. And to Andy's point, he wants to learn how to leverage ourselves. But the Sales VA is an app. It starts with an app. So talk about that and then what happens behind the app and how that works. If you could get into that briefly.
Absolutely. Thank you, David. And you're right. Multitasking is overrated. is one of my sayings that I say to my team, because it takes time for the brain to move from one job to the next. And so being in sales for over 20 years, I've come to learn exactly what people are great at and what they aren't. And so with my outsourcing experience and technology experience, we developed an app which allows salespeople who are on the road and busy and great face-to-face, but not necessarily great going back to the office and scheduling the follow-up meetings, sending the follow-up material and collateral, and making those dreaded CRM file notes. So that's exactly what we do. And you're right, David, it's a change of behavior, because we're so used to just having to do those mundane tasks that we have to relinquish a little bit of control, work with another person, and be able to train them for the first period of time. And so our app is a dictation app. It allows our both onshore and offshore team to do those file notes and send those emails and schedule those follow-ups on behalf of our clients. So that's just a little snapshot of what SalesVA does for loan originators and BDMs.
And what I want to just highlight a couple of things. So how that actually, you download this free app, and then there's a big red button in the middle of it. You press record a message, and you speak into your cell phone, and you just say, for example, a loan originator coming out of an office, they say, Sales VA, make a note. I just walked out of this XYZ real estate office. I met with this person, this person, this person. Follow up and do this. Create some tasks for me to follow up, or you could even assign tasks to your sales VA person if you've trained them, and then you go on to the next sales call. While that's happening, you then hit the send button. It goes to your sales person, sales VA, goes into the system, and it gets reviewed. Then it's a task gets signed out to a team, and those tasks get done. Now, you're going to have to give them access to your CRM, things you can do, and I have done that now. And I'm thrilled. The quality of the work is amazing. So, and it's very affordable for a service like that. Talk just briefly a little bit about cost, because people go, I can't afford to hire a $2,500 person or even a $1,500 person. So get into cost of something like Sales VA, if you could, Emma.
Absolutely. So Sales VA, because we do very defined, specific processes for our clients, we've been able to find some great efficiencies and while maintaining the quality. And so for Sales VA, unlimited amount of entries per month, and that's $150 US per month.
Okay, so say that again.
So
I did come
real quick. The cost base is, that's okay. So it's unlimited amount of tasks per month for $150 US per month per originator.
So let's see if you have, so $150 a month, you get a free app and the ability to work with someone to do unlimited amount of tasks. Andy Schell, do the ROI on that one. That is amazing. So,
wait a second, Dave. I got to access my app. Be sure and take a note, because I need to calculate the ROI on having 100 unlimited tasks for $150. Send that to myself for follow-up tomorrow.
That's, you've got it, Andy. That's exactly what you would do.
It works. That's so cool.
That's amazing. For $150.
Yeah,
Andy's a quick study on this stuff. It doesn't take him too long. And Andy and I both share one thing. We're at the core of good delegation. There's a certain amount of laziness in the biz in there too. We joke about it, but the reality is, there's that. But then, you know, some of these tasks, you can actually get your this salesperson, this administrative assistant, how I use it. And I'm going to talk about that person I have in the Philippines in a minute. But you could use this person to do multiple tasks. And if you could run through that quickly, and then I want to get over to social VA so we can talk about how you can use a outsourced person to leverage and get more business at the door. So, but talk a little bit about this. Finish that up on the sales VA. If you could.
Yes, absolutely. So the three processes that SalesVA does is they will send a follow-up email after a meeting with the right collateral attached. So you know how when we're in a meeting, we say, oh, you know, I'll send you this document and this document and this document. Well, dictate that and we will do that for you. We will do your CRM file notes and any detail updates that need to be made in that. And then we will schedule follow-up meetings or follow-up calls or tasks that need to be done after a meeting, so that's in your calendar.
I love it. So, you know, Andy and I used to work together, and he said, Dave, you just came back from a convention. Did you make a lot of notes in our CRM? I go, Andy,
oh, no.
I'm long on the relationship side. I'm short on that. I wish I would have had this app back then. I would have captured a lot more information. So let's make sure I understand that. So you can dictate the app. You can say, send a follow-up email. They'll send a follow-up email. And if there's collateral you want them to send, they'll send it. That, and you could do all that for $150. That's amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. We can do that. Let's talk about social VA, because sales VA is an administrative function that will help you do tasks and the follow up, the mundane kind of things that you may not be necessarily good at, like me. So let's talk about social VA, because that is another service that actually helps bring your brand forward and helps get new business. Talk about that.
Absolutely. So we have particularly real estate clients, which I know is outside this show's domain, but
we do have
kept saying to us, look, what
we have realtors that listen to us. So, I mean, that's good, but it's applicable to LOs as well. So go ahead. Talk about that.
Absolutely. So we have a significant real estate brand say to us, look, we love the app, we love the service, but what else can we do with this? And so with them, we created Social VA, which is a way for, from a brand perspective, they're petrified of what their team members are posting online. And team members, especially really dedicated ones, just want the freedom to be able to post what they think is amazing content online. And so this is a way to bridge both. So we act as the middleman, we curate content, we direct content. We spring off, and I believe you've had them on before, Social Survey.
Yes.
Been on your show before. And so we actually use their content for their clients and springboard off that and turn it into great graphics and facilitate user-generated content, which is, you know, your customers, and coach them through creating video content as well. So it's an outsourced service for both brands and individuals to really hit the market with amazing content from a different perspective, because at the moment, especially in this industry, it's all about branded content. But we believe there's two other buckets, okay? So if you're just posting branded content, you don't get the engagement that you get by mixing branded content with user-generated content and user stories of the service, along with authentic team content.
Okay, good. So we had talked about three categories there. You talked about branded content, you talked about organic content, and then you just talked about a third one, and I talked over you, so I missed it. What was the third one again?
That's okay. Which is we call it micro video content. So that's, you know, who are your team members? You know, what are their stories? What are they out in the community doing? What's their day look like? Because to pick up a phone now, your prospective customers are doing so much more research online than ever before. And what are they actually finding? If they're only finding the branded content, that's a barrier to actually pick up the phone and go, I don't know who I'm talking to. Whereas if they can start a little bit of the relationship and get to know you behind the scenes, that barrier to pick up the phone is a lot less.
So when let's get this down, because I'm looking at the clock and time goes away. Before I go there, Joe, you're catching some of this, and it's not the best optimal audio coming in from Emma, but you've captured something. Is there any questions that you have as it relates to outsourcing using Sales VA or what your understanding of Social VA is at this point?
Well, I'd go back to the question, Dave, about cost and committed terms. I didn't hear much about a committed term. And if somebody wanted to try out your service, Emma, do they have to sign a long-term contract, or is it a simple month-to-month service?
It is a simple month-to-month service.
That's
really
a great
not
way.
A big reason not to try it.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah. It's good. That's a great question, Joe, because I think I got to get locked in on something. And that's why I like about your service, Joe. I mean, you go month to month, you let people in, and people come in and they never leave, because it's like me. You get used to it, you get hooked on it. And I think that's really the benefit from it. I want to be really clear about Social VA again. So you're aggregating content. So give us a scenario. I think you can best describe it in a story. So give us a story that's around Social VA that would be a good application for a loan originator here in America.
Absolutely. So first of all, getting your the true voice of your customer. So using something like social survey to, you know, survey your customers and get their feedback and share that feedback online. And then we would turn that feedback into amazing looking graphics, because there's so many visual people out there now. They don't just want to read. So we turn that into graphics and reshare that across all your platforms.
Some of the platforms you share that across, just to give an idea? Are you talking about social media platforms?
Yeah, absolutely. So Instagram, Facebook, not so much Twitter these days, but we still put it on there for SEO. YouTube, so we collate all the content at the end of the month and turn that into a YouTube video. And then LinkedIn, of course, because LinkedIn is a huge platform for loan originators.
Yeah, for those that don't know what social survey does, social survey surveys your customers for you on an ongoing basis. And what that does is what Emma is talking about is curating or bringing together the social survey data. And then what do you do to make that data and publish that, basically? And so what Social VA does is it is like an assistant. It is your virtual assistant to publish your good stories of what you've done for others, and then also enables you to communicate a message for your clients. It does involve you recording some videos, and you should get comfortable doing that if you're not. I do a video every single day, and I still struggle with getting this going. So I'm working through this myself, but I am finding the value is so worth the effort to get through and press through, because if you read the book Bold, it will tell you that is what the next generation, those that are being the most successful in this next wave, are they're learning how to leverage things like Sales VA, Social Survey, and Social VA. So, Emma, I'm looking at the clock. We're running out of time. We've got to wrap this up. What's the best way for people to learn more about these two very important products that you're using or that you offer?
Absolutely. They can go to salesva.com or socialva.co, or they can connect with me on LinkedIn, which is Emma Monroe, M-O-N-R-O.
Very good. I encourage you to check it out. So here's the two solutions. One is having for $150 a month, you have an app in your pocket that communicates with a virtual assistant that will fill out your CRMs, will send out collateral, thank you notes that as you leave an office, right there. I don't know what your calculation is, folks, but that is worth it. It shows that little extra effort and it'll get you more business. Then you have Social VA, which you're working with Social Survey to gather up data, or you're just collecting organically yourself. And then you use Social VA to get that pushed out to all of your various prospects or people that you're connected with through social media. Strongly encourage you to check these out. Again, Emma can be reached by her website and her email address. Again, your email one more time, Emma, is?
Sorry, it was actually my LinkedIn account, which is Emma.
Oh, your LinkedIn. Well, LinkedIn, of course. LinkedIn is the best way to go. That is really, might as well get started. That's the right thing to do. So go LinkedIn. It's Emma Monroe with an
M-O-N-R-O.
Yeah, don't put an E at
That's
that.
Correct.
Don't do the Marilyn Monroe thing. Do the Emma Monroe, which is drop the E. Anyway, thank you so much. I really appreciate you joining in with us today, Emma. Very good, very great content.
Thank
I know you had
great
to get great. You had to get up really early to be here with us, but I really do appreciate it. Special thank you to Angie Ledbetter, who listened in from Little Rock, Arkansas. We talked to her at the beginning of the program. She's with Del Mar Financial out of Missouri, but she's located in Little Rock. Appreciate you, Angie, and all of you around the nation that listened to this podcast and have made it such a popular podcast and have made it so successful. Appreciate you being here with us. Look forward to having you back next week. And next week we're going to have on the program, what do we got? Let's see here. We have Brent Emler of Velma talking about effective ways for you to market your services through an integrated marketing platform. And that'll be another good content of how to get more business, focusing on that here in the last couple of programs. Good to have you with us, everybody. Have a great week. Look forward to having you here next week.
This has been Licken on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Licken of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us again next week, and thank you for listening.